What's the best Christmas gift that you've ever received? Well, when I was a little girl, my parents gave me a pony for Christmas. I know, right? Like, what were they thinking? You can ask them later at coffee time. I'll admit, I was pretty spoiled as a kid. But you know, I can't really say that a pony was actually the best Christmas gift that I ever received. Cheesy though it might sound, I'd really say that the best gift I've ever received was the birth of Jesus Christ. We Mennonites are often accused by other Christian traditions of believing in salvation by works rather than salvation by faith. And in some ways, they make a fair point. Our Mennonite theology and the teaching in our churches does tend to place a lot of emphasis on discipleship. We deeply value making sure that our actions line up with the ethical teaching that Jesus promoted during his earthly ministry. We aren't satisfied with just having an intellectual knowledge about Jesus in our heads. We believe it's essential to actually live our lives according to the teaching of Jesus during his earthly ministry. And our strong emphasis on discipleship does tend to set us apart a bit from some other Christian traditions. But I think it's a fair critique to say that Mennonites can sometimes take this a bit to the extreme. Sometimes we can almost end up with a sense that our relationship with God depends upon us working hard and being good people. But Scripture teaches us that this is not at all the case. Jesus himself says in Luke 5, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I've come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And the Apostle Paul says, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." So the Bible teaches that Jesus doesn't need for us to be good people or to have all of our ducks in a row. We don't actually have to work hard in order to receive God's blessing. We already have it, and not because of anything that we've done. We don't earn our salvation. It's been gifted to us. You know, it's kind of funny about Santa. We teach our kids that they have to be good so that Santa will come on Christmas morning and bring them presents. We say, if you're not good, Santa might just bring you a lump of coal this year. Or maybe Santa won't even come. The elf on the shelf is watching you, so you better behave. But you know, Jesus is not actually like that at all. Sure, he does know what we're doing, but he's not writing up some long list of sins in order to indict us. Jesus is still going to give us salvation, no matter how we've behaved. In fact, he kind of already knows that we haven't been very good, but he's still going to give it to us anyways. We don't have to be good in order to deserve God's love. We already have it, just as we are. And that's what grace is. It's a free gift. It's kind of like the best Christmas present ever. Our call to live as disciples of Jesus isn't based on working hard enough to deserve or to earn God's love. We're called to be disciples out of a response to the love that God has already gifted to us. Our scripture text from the lectionary this morning is a beautiful celebration of God's grace, in which every single aspect of creation joins together in praising God. From the heights of the heavens to the depths of the seas, from the sun to the moon to the storm clouds up above, to the wild animals and the milk cows, from the old to the young, from men to women, from every single thing on the face of the earth and above the earth and under the earth. Every single thing praises God. Notice some of these things don't actually even have vocal cords. Even the fire and the frost offer their praise. And not just living things praise God, inanimate objects like mountains and hills glorify God as well. I can imagine that if Psalm 148 were written today, it might include a few more verses. Something like, "Praise God, all you quasars. Praise him, electrons and protons. Praise God, all you black holes and nebulas. Praise him, you bright and shining stars. All galaxies and molecules, all matter and dark energy. Praise God, you forces of the multiverse, at work under God's command." If you were to add another stanza to Psalm 148, what aspects of creation can you imagine bringing their praise to God? Jesus coming into the world brings salvation to all the multiverse, not even just for humanity. It's for the mountains and the hills, for the fruit trees and the cedars, for the sea creatures of the deep. God's good news is good for every facet of creation. I think we humans often tend to have a bit of arrogance. We tend to fall into the trap of feeling like we're superior to the rest of creation. We've often assumed that our ability to think rationally makes us better than everything else. And I suspect this is at least partly the case because of the way that early Christianity was influenced by the beliefs of Gnosticism, just as the early church was beginning to take shape. Gnosticism is the Greco-Roman belief dating back to the first and second centuries after Jesus, just as the church was forming, that has to do with the philosophy that the body and the physical material world is evil, while the mind and the spiritual and rational world is pure and good. So it's the belief in a binary system which pits the physical world and the spiritual world against each other. The writers of the New Testament actually spend a fair amount of time subtly arguing against Gnosticism. Take, for example, 1 John 1, which emphasizes how very physical God's coming into the world as Jesus actually is. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life." It emphasizes a very much embodied physical experience of God. The Apostle Paul goes out of his way in a number of places to emphasize how Jesus came into the world in a physical, material body and urges the Christian community to honor God with their bodies. Paul says in Romans 12:1, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. The writers of the New Testament saw human physical bodies as part of God's holy and good creation. The incarnation that we celebrate at Christmas time is that Jesus himself entered into the world in a physical human body. So the body isn't a bad thing. It's actually a good and holy thing. Unfortunately, Gnostic ideas came back to regain more popularity and influence Christianity quite strongly during the Renaissance period. Many church leaders came to regard the body as somehow impure, tainted even, and thus something that needed to be reined in and kept separate from the pure, perfect world of the rational and spiritual. The body and the material world were seen as being polar opposites from the spiritual rational world. And the worldview of that time came to imagine human beings as thinking machines rather than as embodied creatures. Philosophers and theologians came to believe that the ideal human being was as separate and as disconnected from the earthly material world as possible. But the incarnation of Jesus Christ destroys this false polarity, because the divine takes on flesh. The spiritual becomes the physical. The perfectly spiritual being of God clothes itself with skin and bones. The omnipresent creator of the universe disrupts the fabric of space and time by entering into one particular moment of history, into the limitations of one particular human culture, into one small human family. By taking on these limitations of humanity, Jesus shows us that the physical world is not actually separate from the spiritual world. God is both spirit and flesh. This has pretty incredible implications for the rest of creation as well. It means that all of creation, every little bit of the material world around us, is part of God's good creation. It's all good. It's not just rational minds or disembodied spirits which are capable of praising God. It's the fruit trees and the cedars. It's the mountains and the hills and the fire and the frost and the sea creatures of the deep. It's even the black holes and the pulsars and the undiscovered wonders of space. All of this brings forth its praise to God. And this means that what we do to creation matters. Whether we treat the earth as a holy creation of God, or we treat it as a mere product to be used up and discarded, reflects our understanding of what it means for God to be incarnate. Do we allow the mountains and the hills to sing their praises, or do we strip away their voices with our mining? How we live on the earth reflects what we believe about who Jesus actually is. Is God's good news truly good for all the earth? Is it really for all people everywhere, rich and poor alike? Is God's gift of salvation truly a gift that's been given to us purely out of love? Or is it something that we've worked hard to deserve and earn and have a right to? How we live on the earth will reveal what we truly believe about the coming of the baby Jesus. Amen.